Welcome to Gesundheit with Jacobus Health Talk Radio, integrating allopathic and all-natural medicine one show at a time. Here is your host, Jacobus Hollewein.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's nice to have you with us today. Very interesting topic. Hopefully you follow directions and stay to bed a little longer. It's going to be one of those. Well, Chuck had to get up, and he is regretting it right now that he couldn't stay in bed. But we are talking about health, healing, and healthy lifestyles. We do it every Saturday morning from 8 to 11 with the experts. Give them a chance to chat about their field of study or a topic of their choice. In the studio with me on my right-hand side is Chuck Martel. Chuck, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jacobus.
Thanks so much for being here.
Of course.
You wouldn't want to miss this one.
Of course.
You don't want to miss anyone.
That's right.
That's right. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And it looks like everything is spick and span, clean, organized. The music is all tuned up. It's amazing what a couple extra minutes of showing up in the studio can do for a man's brain and heart.
Just amazing.
Just amazing. Yeah, thank you. So as we are talking about topics of health, healing, and healthy lifestyles, as always, we remind you that we're not here to diagnose, treat, or cure. We're here to entertain and educate and inform, give you information that may be helpful in your quest for better health, body, mind, or spirit. If you have any other questions after the show that you couldn't address today between 8 and 11, then I suggest you see a professional of your choice, somebody you trust, and read up more information in books, in magazines, and on the internet by reputable writers. So there is lots of information available about all the topics that we discuss on these programs. And so there is always room to move, room to grow. We hope you do that as well. So, having said all that, folks, thank you so much for tuning in to Gesundheit with Jacobus. I'm your host, Jacobus Hollewein. And with me as a guest beside with us, I should say, with Chuck and I, is Dana Mikkel. Dana has been on a few years ago. We had actually about 5 years ago, Dana, believe it or not, you were on the show talking about autism. We did a show with three or four people in the studio. It was kind of busy over here. Today, we're going to hit a slightly different topic, I should say. And Dana, let me tell you a little bit about Dana. He is a licensed clinical professional counselor in private practice in Bozeman, has 15 years extensive experience working with adolescents and families. Dana also works with adults and couples. He has nearly completed his psychoanalytic certification. Today, his practice is focused largely on in-depth or long-term treatment of severe mental disorders. And more recently, Dana Mikkel has started to direct more interest towards the dynamics of intimacy and desire in relationships. Now, his office is right here in Bozeman. It is on at 1648 Ellis Street, Suite 302. 1648 Ellis Street, Suite 302. And you can reach him by phone. His office number, Dana Mikkel's office, is 587-8775. Dana, it's good to have you back in the program.
Good morning, Jacobus, and thank you for having me here. And Chuck, thank you for coming down so early in the morning.
Well, you're welcome.
We have a topic on hand that I've had a few people already tell me they were definitely going to listen and said, oh boy, that sounds like an interesting topic. And so sex, I would say, is on a lot of people's minds, maybe not 24/7, but definitely on people's minds. And it is often I mean, I can start a whole monologue about what I see around me, but that's not what we want to do. We are bombarded with images at the same time. Talking about sex, talking about intimacy is taboo for people. They don't want to offend anybody else in public by talking about sex. It is a private matter, but at the same time, we are exposed to it on a regular basis through advertising, through music, words they're using in music today, very much into intercourse, sexual behavior, a certain freedom, a certain release of energy, of desire. And I thought this would be, when you talked to me about this, I thought this is a great topic to talk about, to actually give some clarification and help for many people to understand it better.
Well, Jacobus, you're right. It's one of the universal human experiences. We are all sexual creatures, and in one way or another, we're going to express that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully this morning we can talk a little bit about, you know, approaching these issues of sexual health, intimacy, and desire. Take a look at how they work and how they don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And see if we can just help think about these things in a healthier, more helpful way.
Yeah.
And you're right. You know, I believe that we think of ourselves as a very, sexy culture in the sense that we're bombarded with these images everywhere we go.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember seeing some statistics on the number of sexual images that we're confronted with on a daily basis, and it's quite astounding. And yet, despite that presentation that we run into everywhere, I would suggest that our society is more sexually inhibited than it is healthy. It's pretty rare in our culture to be able to encounter healthy, informative information in regards to sexuality.
Yeah.
And
I have to say that as far as the information education is concerned, more and more we're talking about sex education in schools. And this week, actually, things were being written about something that's going on in Helena. The schools over there have made some decisions about sexual education over there, and that is, to some people, controversial. And apparently, it has drawn national attention. It was on national TV as well, I think on CNN, and it might even have been on Fox News. So, obviously, adults are concerned about the children getting the correct education. Children are exposed to it probably more than many adults are thinking that they're exposed to it. We want to protect our children. And so many children grow up being maybe not correctly prepared and may have a sexual experience that may not be very positive right away the first time. That's why we see so many unwanted pregnancies.
Well, yes, I mean, it brings up the question, and one of the things that I want to talk about this morning is just the very way that we think about sex, sexuality, and how we engage it.
Mm-hmm.
Very often when we talk about sex education and that sort of thing, we start to talk about, you know, the mechanics of sex. We start to talk about body parts. We start to talk about sexually transmitted infections and birth control and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And although that's all very important information, that's not what I'm going to be focused talking about this morning, because I want to talk about what is the nature of healthy sexuality in relationships. How does that develop? How does that fade? And hopefully we can get to talking a little bit about the things that can be done to help sustain relationships over mm-hmm. extended period of time. So, just to expand the concept of sex and get away from the body part sort of thing and start to think about it as an experience that touches the entire human soul, that it's not just a physical experience.
Yeah.
But it's what you might want to call a sensual experience, one that is emotional, it's physical, it's spiritual. And it covers a large part of the life that we live, from just touch, being touched, touching another person, getting a hug. And there's all kinds of different hugs. You can hug your child in one way and you would hug your partner in a different way, and they would mean different things.
Yeah.
And so all the way from just a casual touch to passion and desire and wanting, you know, in a very, you know, physical sense. I mean, just the very question, is this a good thing? You know, is it a good thing to be sexual and to have these desires?
Mm-hmm.
And what place does this have in the whole, you know, human experience? So just a few things, put a few ideas out there to start to, you know, perhaps have a few different ways to think about this. There is an old notion, it goes all the way back to Freud, the idea that there's a biological drive to sexuality, that there is a fundamental procreative, you know, biological part to this sexuality does further the species, does, you know, create offspring. And that's certainly a part of it. And I think that it's important to accept that there's a drivenness to sexuality. We are going to express our sexuality in one way or another. But I think if we stop there and we think of that as anywhere near the totality of what it's all about, we're gonna miss really important things, because sexuality has so much meaning and it is so central to relationships. It involves, I think, what is universally human in the sense of a ultimate longing for connection to others and for meaning in sexual behavior. We long for intimate connections of the body, the mind, the heart, and the spirit. And these intimate connections are really central to the human experience.
It is indeed, you know, when I listen to you, I'm thinking about, for example, old movies. And I think how my parents used to behave in public, in the home, very respectful of each other, very polite, not a lot of touching going on in public. Today we see a lot more PDA, public display of affection between people. There is, for some people, there's absolutely no shame to just start hugging and kissing in public. My parents were never that way. I don't know how far back we can go. There is this innate instinct, as you mentioned, to, well, there is a certain attraction. But even if you go back to literature, if you look at the old French literature from the Middle Ages, it's very rough. It's very, women didn't have a lot of respect in men's lives. Women were almost like second string. In the English literature, you see there is a lot more respect for the woman. She would drop a handkerchief, and the knight would pick it up and wear it around his arm as he goes to battle. There was this tremendous respect for her. Then all of a sudden we see, so there's different cultures, different behavior as far as the relationship between men and women. It seemed like in the old English literature, it was all more about softer. In the French literature, it was more harsh and rough. Then I look at my parents and I see there is a lot of respect, and there was no talk about sex. It was very private, very pure, very Catholic. We were raised Catholic. All of a sudden you see my generation grows up and you see the 60s and the 70s and everything is opening up, and it seems like we have to swing the pendulum a whole other way. Then I see again there's a little bit more, we're a little bit more careful in society, and now all of a sudden it is with the music that's out today, there is a lot of talk. It's all about getting together and so much about relationships. Most songs are about relationships. And so there is this instinct in people that we're always thinking about a partner, about the other sex, about intimacy, etc. But as a culture in behavior, it's I think it creates confusion. Maybe it's already confusing what I'm telling you right now.
Well, you brought up a number of really important points, and you've raised the subject of politics and sex. If you know the politics of gender, the politics of the male and female, which is, you know, just from the first time that, you know, we stood upright, this has been going on. And, you know, I didn't come prepared today to really talk about the political aspects, but and you're getting a little bit ahead of me, but yes, look at all the things that you brought up, the meanings and the values.
Yes.
And the different significance that is placed on sexuality. When you mentioned the songs and the music, I had the thought that, well, in what I hear in the music today, there's a lot of talk of sex, and yet I would say it's sex outside of relationship in the music. You know, it's sex isolated.
I see.
Today.
That's a great point.
I was hoping to talk about sexuality in relationships.
Yes.
Not to suggest at all that sex outside of a relationship is problematic in any way. Just that's not what I came in to talk about today.
But I think that's a great observation and comment.
But the politics is always there. I think in any relationship, in any sexual dynamic, there are the politics is the politics of control. So yes, that's a huge subject, and it has changed through the generations. And I think that the changes that we see taking place today In some ways, they're healthy, and in other ways, they're problematic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a, I like that.
So again, in casual sex, we're going to have something quite different going on. But when we talk about sexuality in relationships,
yes.
I think of it as, not that this it is the biggest part of a relationship, but it is at the core, mm-hmm. that it is central. The word I like to use is it's so symbolic. If you will, it's the place where the flame of the relationship is held and kept, if it can be kept. It's the place where nurturance and sustenance comes from.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So when we look at a couple, when we look at a relationship, and if we see that there is a healthy, sexual, vibrant relationship in that couple, mm-hmm. it's almost impossible to also have a couple that doesn't have a healthy relationship in other areas of their life. This is important. There's a lot of meaning to it. When we engage in sexuality in a relationship, it's very emotional. It's relational. We attach a lot of meaning to it. It affects all parts of our life, our sensitivity, our love, our commitment, our self-esteem. And I also think it's important to understand that when we get into an intimate relationship, that we engage a part of our soul that otherwise we never encounter. That part of us that relates intimately, that allows the self to give and receive pleasure, to expose oneself to another person, that intimacy brings vulnerability to it. It brings risk. And it involves a commitment and a sensitivity that otherwise we just don't have to deal with. So when we venture into relationships, we are venturing into difficult ground, and we are encountering parts of our soul that otherwise we just don't encounter and we don't have to deal with.
Right. Huh.
And so, this vulnerability, this activity that's so loaded with meaning, mm-hmm. Where we bring our bodies and our souls and we share them and we risk being hurt. It's just very important stuff, and it's got a lot of energy to it, and it's real important to our health and well-being.
Yes. Yeah, I like that.
And
folks, I just want to let you know, Dana Mikkel is a licensed clinical professional counselor. He is my guest today on Gesundheit with Jacobus. If you are tuning in just now, we are talking about sex and intimacy, sensuality, erotic desire, especially as it is related to long-term relationships.
Okay. Thank you. So in relationships, when we engage another person and become intimate and become vulnerable, this is a place that is full of the possibility of things not only going well, but things going wrong.
I see.
And so, again, when we take this on and we enter into relationships, it is a challenging process. Why is it so? Well, we bring into relationships and our sexual attitudes, what our values are around sexuality, what the meanings are, what our history is, if you will. We also have models and expectations. By values, I mean, well, when you were talking earlier, Jacobus, and talking about you were brought up Catholic. Well, that comes with the Catholic Church teaches certain values around sexuality.
Yeah.
And so as you go through life, and I find this true of most Catholics, you know, you carry this with you. Part of the value that you put in sexuality comes from that background. And we all have some sort of background.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's important. It's not important. Meanings, you know, for some people, sex is extremely meaningful in terms of self-worth and self-esteem. For other people, it's about closeness and intimacy and being connected. But we bring meanings, different meanings, mm-hmm. to our embrace of sexuality. We bring a history, mm-hmm. Including a childhood history of learning about ourselves and our bodies and learning that boys and girls are different. And I mean, all those things that we go through,
yeah.
To our own, experiences of our first kiss, you mm-hmm. know, our first embrace, our first encounter with the other gender or whoever our object of desire is. And these all make up our attitudes about sexuality. Mm-hmm. We also have models, primary models being our parents. We watch them carry out a relationship and we saw how it worked.
Yes.
And for many, many years, that was the one model that we had that we mm-hmm. could observe. And we got to know it very, very closely mm-hmm. in great detail.
Yeah. We should probably take a short break here, go to the commercials. And then when we come back, we'll hit on this topic again.
Very good.
Folks, you listen to Gesundheit with Jacobus. Dana Mikkel is my guest. We are talking about sex and intimacy in long-term relationships. We hope you are enjoying the program. Hope you are enjoying your day and you'll stay with us till 11 o'clock. We'll be right back.